Hello, Career Cohort. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Emily Wong, founder of Words of Distinction. We talk about tools for achieving career success, inspirational stories about overcoming career and life challenges, and how we can recalibrate our perspective to better enjoy the journey forward. Hi there, I have Carol Dupre here with me, and we're going to jump right into some great coaching advice from Carol. She's going to be talking about authenticity when it comes to your career search. And Carol, I'm curious, right from the beginning, you left a really great career in marketing, I think after 20 years, right? And you jumped into a kind of a side hustle of coaching. And then, of course, you took that side hustle and expanded it. Now you're a full-on coach. So what made you decide to do this?
Thank you. Thank you, Emily. It's so great to be here. And yeah, so what it was when I was about 20 years into my marketing career, I would call it success without soul. I had hit maybe what people call burnout. But for me, it was, what am I doing? I was disconnected from my work. There's got to be more than this. And so I launched a side hustle for 6 months. I was working in the media business, had a great job as a marketing director. And I realized very quickly I could have my own clients. And I loved the work. And I realized that being, you know, authentic was going to be essential, and that the people coming to me were coming to me because of the work that I had done, but also because I had worked on my personal brand. I had done a 360 through Reach, which is now Career Thought Leaders, and that really helped me define my strengths and my values. So fast forward to today, I'm now, you know, evolved from a Carol Dupre brand consulting practice to now Her Nature Career Coaching. And it was just an organic and easy transition to make as I saw the power of the individual to have their own empire, literally, and really to do the thing that they were designed to do. So I've really loved being in the career space now, really for now, since 2017, helping men and women design and really define their own success.
And that must have just felt amazing, Carol, because you did say it was organic. So you're going from, you know, I don't know what your culture was like in your company, but even if it's a good culture, if it's not the fit and you're not doing what you want to be doing, it just feels like such a burden must have come off your shoulders, right?
It definitely did, Emily. I knew, you know, I had read this great article from Harvard Business Review about not managing your time, but managing your energy. And I am a late person, creative, and I'm not most creative in the morning. I really kick in around noon, and I can work through late at night, even early hours in the morning. And so I will say that even though I was very successful in the corporate arena, it was really hard for me to ever truly align with the hours that I needed to be productive, right? And so it was a huge load off to your question to all of a sudden be able to operate within the time frame and the time zones that were really where my energy and my creativity could thrive.
That's such a great point. You don't usually think of those hours that are off hours that actually fit you better. So you're kind of a lark. Oh, no, wait a second. An owl. I'm a lark. You're an owl. So thank you for meeting me at this time.
Absolutely.
Because we need to know when our energy is best.
That's right.
And I think, too, you know, I left the corporate world, too, and it's really fun. And I talked to this with other people, too, where – when you have your own company, you can kind of play. It's like playing house or playing business. You know, when you used to have that, you know, that cash register, and you'd pretend and you would price things and you would try new things. And it's the same thing when we have our own company. We don't have to go through that whole action memo process where you have to go through the entire company to get approval for something that you think is going to be great. You could actually just do it,
yes.
Right? And I love that you have turned that into something where you can now guide women to do this, because it's absolutely possible. And when you bring your authentic self, it's really, really important in the whole process, I think. So I do kind of want to hear what you think makes a career path authentic.
I'll just start with saying that when I say authentic career, it's not just a buzzword to me. It's literally one of my core values. And what I mean by authentic career is that your work reflects your unique vision of success. And what that translates to is that you have to know what success means to you, right? It's not what society says. It's not what your mom maybe decided it was going to be. At some point in your career, you have to own it and decide what that is. So an authentic career also is aligned with who you are and allows you to make that positive impact. Because Emily, I'm betting that you get the same sort of comment from your clients. Like, I know there's something that I need to do. There's some impact I need to make. And unless you truly have done the work to discover what that unique, your unique strengths are, what your values are, it's really maybe a missed opportunity. How will you be able to make the impact you were designed to make? Now, I wanted to say one more thing too. Brene Brown, with everybody knows and loves to follow, she has this great quote that is related to authenticity. And I'm just going to read this to you real quick because it's so great and it's totally on spot about what we're talking about. Authenticity is the daily practice of letting go of who we think we're supposed to be and embracing who we actually are. That's the essence.
Absolutely. You know, I love that. And I love Brene Brown, as everybody does. And I think, you know, it was really interesting when, you know, when we went into lockdown, shutdown, whatever that is, I remember thinking to myself, as women started to let their hair go silver, and I felt like, this is such a great opportunity because people are starting to say, you know what? There's so much more to life. I mean, that's part of the great resignation thing as well, right? That people just decided this is what I want out of life. And I so appreciate that. And I hope that we'll continue in this trajectory because it really is important. We have so many years that we're working and it needs to be, you know, it's our life matters and our life is, I mean, our working life is part of our life. So we need to keep that in consideration, right? You know, for professional women, when do you think is a good time to start pursuing an authentic or meaningful career?
I work with both moms and women who have, you know, maybe have delayed having kids, you know, no matter where they are in the process. I don't think there's ever a bad time to think about what's meaningful to you. But we know that in our culture that women do tend to delay their own interests, right? Their own growth within their careers because of the expectations of being a mother and the primary caretaker. But I believe that at any point that you start to feel like you're working and you're going through the motions, you're on cruise control, you don't have the flexibility you want, and honestly, you're not really doing what you are best at, then it's time to take a look, step back, hire a coach, hire or visit with friends, ask them, what are you doing? And what do you think I'm really great at? And start to go on that self-discovery journey. And you can do it while you're still, you know, have your kids at home or not.
You know, that's such a good point because I will say I was given a lot of freedom in deciding what my career was going to be. And I took a lot of detours and my career definitely zigged and zagged. But I did end up at a big brand company. It was a great company to work for. But at some point, I really, really wanted to be at home with my kids. And they were still in elementary school. And I had this feeling that I was disconnecting to the brand of my company. And what was that going to be like? First of all, my kids were going to be disappointed because it's a great company for kids. I was worried about that, which was not an issue. But the other thing is that I was, because I had been so connected to that brand for so long, I thought, you know, there was a kind of a, there was something that was pulling me or keeping me from leaving and then just going off on my own. And I wasn't, at that point, I wasn't ready to start a new career, but I realized that was really unhealthy. The fact that my brand was so important to me and that was part of my identity. So I think this speaks to, you know, the fact that, you know, we should just keep looking and find what's going to be a good fit, regardless of what that brand is, and not let us feel that that brand is so important. And I will say this, my last day was a Friday. And I up until that point, I was still concerned about that brand. And on Monday, I woke up and I was so happy. So it wasn't like that continued on. So just to remind people that the brand, it's your brand that matters. Like you, as you were talking about, Carol, right?
We get, you know, our identity gets so wrapped up in the companies that we work with. And at some point, though, we have to realize that they don't own our careers. We do. And things happen all the time. You feel like you're very secure and that job is not a permanent thing. It's not a promise thing. And we do need to figure out, how do I become evergreen? How do I sustain who I am and the work that I do, no matter what happens to this company, especially in this day and age? Nothing is certain except what it is that you bring to the table, knowing your value, right? Mm-hmm. And really taking off that hat of the company and expecting them to be the identity for you. It's a hard transition to make. Emily, I struggled with it. It took me a good while, but I did a lot of work. I had a coach. I did a lot of, like I said, the 360. I got feedback from people really to determine, how did I fit into this space? And that's really, it's very similar to what we, you know, when I did a lot of branding work in business, what you're trying to do is connect the dots, or let's call it just closing the gap between the things that you think you're great at and what others think you're great at, and then finding the sweet spot that really is where you want to be known, the place that you want to play, right? So that you can do that thing no matter what's circling around you. You can do, you know, and you may do this, Emily, but like I have, you know, two contracts and I have my own business and I have other things in the mix. I'm a nature photographer, right? But at the end of the day, there's one core skill or principle that serves the purpose for me. And it's, you know, that authentic piece, and it's being creative. And it's also being that strategist, that brand strategist at the core of everything I do. So it's just important ultimately to find out, how do I own my identity and not let the corporate world pretty much guide that for me.
I love the way you just said, I'm here and everything is swirling around me. That's kind of like, I visualize this oak tree because you're a nature photographer. So I kind of visualize that if you are in complete control and owning who you are, which you talked about, Carol, and knowing what your brand is and what you bring and what you can offer, it doesn't matter what's swirling around you, because you're going to bring that same person to everything. And also, that goes back to your business or what you're doing. Your work life is the same. It really is integrated into your entire life. So you're not switching roles, which is also exhausting.
Absolutely. You know, I just I recently wrote a blog post because I had had a series of client prospects coming to me and asking the question, how do I stay focused? I keep changing my mind about what it is I want to do. Do I want to work for myself? Do I want to, you know, get back into corporate? And my answer to that is you have to allow your core values to guide your path. And if you cannot state what those are, that is your first point in the journey. If you're not honoring your core values, you will feel lost. Think about when you know, I think what I wrote in the post is that when you think about what happens to your brain when you start just scrolling through your Facebook timeline or a news feed, all of a sudden your brain is completely engulfed in a whole different world. And in order to stay really focused, you know, you have to be able to respond to the outside world from the values you hold within. That's the only way that I've been practicing this for 5 years, and it has helped me pick the right partners. It's helped me choose the right podcast to sit in on. It has helped me figure out who my right clients are. Who do I do agreements with? That filter, not only my brand positioning, but those values. You know, love is very important to me. And so if someone is very transactional versus relational, I will pick up on that, or I'll ask the right questions to determine that. And I'll know that that person is probably not right for me. So those are very, you know, that's the real heart of it. And so there's so many benefits, Emily, to not, you know, not just having a great and fulfilling career, but to know your values filters through all your decisions in your life and can have such a big impact. And again, that's to me part of being authentic. It's knowing your values, knowing your core strengths, and allowing yourself to maximize them in what you do every single day.
That's brilliant. I think that is such an important piece. What else can clients think about when they're the first, the light bulb goes off, maybe from this podcast episode, and they think, okay, I want to start moving toward a new job. What's the first step you would say to take other than values and strengths?
Other than values and strengths, I would write a list of what you love about what you're doing now and what you don't. What would you love to take to the next place that you go? And what would you just absolutely can't wait to get rid of? Another thing to do is start writing down, and this is sort of a different kind of list, but what's non-negotiable to you? You know, I meet a lot of folks that they do really know what they want, but until they truly write down, like, I will not compromise the flexibility in my life, that I want to work remotely and I'm never going to compromise that. Or I want to make $250,000 a year and I'm not going to take a job unless that happens for me. Doing some type of exercise that again starts within. I truly believe the path to fulfillment is the same path to what you see great brands out there are doing. They start from the inside. They do not look outside and start looking at the competition or what their neighbor's doing, right? Or who else looks great on social media. That's not where you start. You start with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you touched on this too, you start with yourself, but when you're reaching out to a company, so say you've done this self-examination, you understand who you are, and you're reaching out to these new companies that you're exploring, you have to present yourself in a way that's going to add value to the company so they can kind of envision you in that role.
Well, the way that I look at the process is, you know, you start with you, you understand your strengths and values, but then you have to really understand the value that you bring. So you assess your experience. And you look at your experience, especially if you're changing industries, because by the way, I just saw a McKinsey survey report that said that businesses are really focusing more on the skills that you bring to the table versus your specific industry experience. So take an inventory or an assessment of what you excel in. What are the stories? And I like to use car stories. Emily, I'm not sure about you, but your chat, what was the challenge? What was the action that you took to address that challenge? And then what were the results of that action? And put those stories together, but in a way that are not necessarily specific to an industry, but that are specific to how you want to be known, how you're positioning yourself in the marketplace to solve the employer's problems. And again, that's when you also have to know who is your target audience.
Right. And I would add, and I do car stories, and I don't call them car stories in a resume. So the way you and I work, Carol, is a little bit different because you're on the front end of somebody who's going to be transitioning to another industry or new kind of role. And then they come to me after they see you. So by the time they get to me, they understand their vision. But then we do have to organize and articulate how they are going to be presented and how they're going to add value to the company. So I actually add something, the T. So it's CART, which is the T for tie back. And that speaks to what you're talking about, Carol, which is, you know, you're talking about the challenge, action, results, and then how is that relevant to the company that to which you're applying, right? So I think that is so important. And the other thing that I recommend, just to kind of fill this in a little bit, is when they are applying to a new company, that networking or relationship building within those other industries is really, really important, because you're going to have the keywords in your resume and you're going to have that transition, but it's also really, really important to get out there and to explain to people why you're transitioning and how this all kind of ties together. I think that's an added value to that conversation as well.
Yes, absolutely. I have a term for that that I got from a group that I used to work with, but we call that an exit statement. And it's not something you ever want to wing, because what do you expect people to ask you if you're looking for a job? Why are you looking for a job? And you do right. not want to wing it. You do not want even a hint of negativity. You want to be very clear. You want to take some of the focus off of you, but kind of looking at the bigger picture. Why are you leaving? And what are you focused on? And why are you here? Why are you even having this conversation with someone? Exit statement is something, again, that people, I think they sort of skip, right? They jump to the resume. Mm-hmm. They might start practicing interview questions, but that exit statement, and plus the tell me about yourself, again, starting that in the present and using it almost as an opening or segue to how you want to position yourself as a valuable asset to the company that you are interested in speaking with and working with.
And yeah, that's a really good point. And also, you know, I know you're working with your clients in the same way, kind of finding what makes them so special. And when I'm working with clients, some of them don't necessarily recognize how amazing they are because they're so close to it. So when they're talking about their special sauce, you know, they might think, well, everybody can do that. Everybody who's an engineer can talk to people who are not technical. That's not true. You know, everybody who's in sales can really collaborate well with marketing. That's not necessarily true. And so these are skills that always amaze me. I find when I'm talking to clients, one of my favorite things of my job is finding out what these amazing value adds are. And that's really, really important in a resume for somebody who's transitioning, because you want to tie that all together so that the reader understands, okay, they're taking these skills that are transferable. So this person might have been in marketing in the auto industry, but now they are going into video games, but they want to go into sales. So they can bring these, they can tie these two things together and say, okay, well, the reason they're really good, they're going to be very good at sales because partly because they understand the marketing aspect of that, because this company needs somebody who can understand what's important to the people in marketing, which is usually pretty significant. And if people in sales are not working well with the people in marketing, there's going to be a clash. So I think that's a really, really important part that you're bringing up is showing that value. And so, and I think too, I know you talk a lot about how a career changer can gain a competitive advantage. And I think that that's one of those areas, is to find out where they are compatible, even though their work, they came from this area, how that's going to translate.
Right? Yes. I mean, there's so many tools out there that are accessible to people if you're working on your own, or if you're working with a coach. I mean, honestly, you know, I think the number one differentiator is what we've talked about before. If, you know, I was a hiring manager at some point, and Emily, you may have been too. And when someone came to me, and but they had the same experience as the next person, they had the same educational credentials as the next person, but they knew what they stood for. They could speak to me in crystal clear terms what their number one strength was and how it was relevant to the role that we were trying to fill and the problems we had as a marketing team at that time. So, you know, I just sum that up by knowing what you stand for is a clear and major competitive differentiator. Now, as far as the tools available to you, I have worked with, you know, Myers-Briggs, people who are qualified for Myers-Briggs coaching, and I have found that tool to be incredibly helpful for people, especially like you mentioned, you know, in the tech field, for instance, if you have a manager who tends to be intuitive, and a lot of the people in that tech management field are sensing folks, they're more literal, they more matter of fact. It's not a weakness to be intuitive. Actually, he was amazing because he could see the big picture. He could put the patterns together for that team. And honestly, he was very sensitive in his style of management. And so while he was trying to break out of it, what we got were able to see is that that indeed was unique to him in that group. It was creating issues. But if he just learned how to speak in his manager's language, right? Who really wanted just the nut and bolts. Just tell me where the project is.
Yes.
But he could still be himself. That was what's key.
Yeah.
So take a Myers-Briggs, you know, the one that's free. It's, you might know it, Emily, there's a free version on, I don't know if it's credible or not, but at least it's a starting point. There's VIA Strengths. It's also free. And then you have the Clifton Strengths, which is available for under $20. To get your top five strengths. Because look, when people come to, when clients come to us, it's, there's so many things in your mind that you've heard people say about you, you've gotten feedback, and you have your own ideas about who you are personally and professionally. So if I ask for your greatest strengths, you might list 10 or 20 things, you know, but you don't know which one to focus on. So sometimes you need an objective assessment to really help you hone in. And I can't tell you, 9 out of 10 times when my clients take Clifton Strengths, they rate those strengths 10 out of 10 that, yes, that's me. And I didn't even know that was a strength. And they're so empowered.
Yeah.
They're so empowered because guess what? Now they know how to talk about themselves. They have a new language. They have a vernacular that they didn't have before. So again, you know, take the time to understand your strengths, because at the end of the day, they can translate to any other industry. They really can. In marketing, I changed industries every few years, and it was a blast because I loved learning. I loved having new challenges. And my mom used to look at me and she said, "I have no idea where you came from." She said, "You just keep leaving these perfectly great jobs." And I said, "But mom, you know, I have new problems I want to solve, you know, and if that's you,
yeah,
find a way to do that. Find out what you're great at. And it absolutely can translate into another place."
You're a great role model for anyone who is considering this transition, because you've done it all. You've been in these different industries. And yeah, you feel like, oh no, what can I possibly offer? But it's all iterative, and you're going to build on those strengths. This has really been such a remarkable, great conversation. I so appreciate you coming on, Carol.
Thank you, Emily. I so enjoyed talking to you today.
I want to know if there's like one little tidbit of advice in addition to all the wonderful advice you've offered so far.
I like to always end on a really high note if I can. And my favorite quote by far is by Eleanor Roosevelt. And it's the quote that goes, "You must do the thing you think you cannot do." And to believe that you have to be someone other than who you are in order to be successful, in order to be prosperous financially, is nonsense. A lot of people I have been able to work with have found the place that they absolutely can be themselves, and they are doing jobs that they love. So please follow what's in your nature to do, and I promise you will be happy.
That's a great ending. I so appreciate that, Carol. Now, how can people reach you?
They can reach me at itshernature.com. That's my website. It's the best way to find me.
Okay, great. And I'm going to include that in the show notes. I'm going to include your bio in the show notes. And I'm also going to include any links to Clifton Strengths and any of the other resources that you've provided. I think that's going to add a lot of value to anyone listening to this episode.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Career Cohort. I'm Emily Wong. You can find all my podcasts and blog posts at wordsofdistinction.net. And if you'd like to chat about how I can help you define the next step in your career and achieve your goals, head on over to the same website and book a time on my calendar for a free consult. In the meantime, please be sure to share, subscribe, rate, and review so we can continue to bring you great content.